So holding here in the perek that deals with the yesodos of Emuna, this is the marker for Yugimu Ikrim. The places where this appears is here in the Rambam, in the Sektaram Techelek, that's the marker for it. There is in Yesodi HaTorah and a little bit Malachim, he has the things that are similar to it. In other words, he deals with the same topics, and a lot of it is almost the same. And finally, the Yud Gimel Ikrim that we have in our Siddur, nobody really knows where that comes from. No one knows who put it in. It seems to follow the Rambam. It's relatively similar, but the question is, who put it in, and how much can be medayik, if there is some difference or not, that's up in the air. It's interesting that something that's so chashev, you know, something that's so yesodistic has been sort of left an unknown riddle, but that's the metzias. Okay, so we spoke yesterday, last time we spoke a little bit about that's the musig of yesodos, and what the point of it is, and why, and so on. Now, hayesod rishon. Mitzios habora yishtabach v'hu sheyesham nimtza be'oifin hasholom shebefane hametzios hu ilas mitzios hanimtzos kulom obokiyum mitziusam u'merenim shachakiyum. So let's first put down the first point that I think is very important to put down. That is, when a person asks you what do Jews believe in, so we say in God. So we say, okay, and let's say a Muslim calls him Allah. Is he a believer in God or not? If a guy calls him Yashka, is he a believer in God or not? If some other religion has a different name. So they'll say, well, they claim that Allah said this when Hashem didn't say it. So which one is it? Is it the wrong God, or they're attributing a false statement to him? You could say, listen, they have the same God, except that they're attributing a statement to him that he never said. So it's a very big difference, not believing in Hashem, to attributing statements that he never made. So this is the core, the definition that he's going to give here is the core definition of what Hashem means. What it means to believe in Hashem means to believe in an entity as described here. The name that you give him is really, really relatively unimportant in terms of Emunah, as the definition is. So he has a few points. They obviously all come together. It's not a bunch of attributes, but we'll try to find sort of the common nekuda of which he's describing parts. First of all, he says yesham is a it's an Arabic translation that there exists. It's the way an Arab speaker would say there indeed exists. We would say sheyeshno or shebemet yesh. In other words, the word yesh as existing in Hebrew is not a frequent word, and therefore you use some other word to give it added oomph. In other words, when you speak of yesh as defining existence, you'll add something. Bemet yesh kaze davar, you know, there's sort of a need to emphasize. So sheyesha means there does exist. Nimtza, a being. Be'oifin hasholom shebeifane hametzius, whose existence is perfect in all ways possible. Perfect meaning, you're not going to describe what does it mean to be perfectly wise, what does it mean to be perfectly strong, to be perfectly kind. I mean, we take perfect to mean a measure to something. So if they asked 100 questions on a test and you got all 100 right, you got a perfect score. It doesn't mean you know everything. It means you know everything that was asked. That's what it means. The word perfect for us is very, very tricky to define. What we can say is, we can never make a statement describing Kadosh Baruch Hu's limit in any area. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't do this because he wasn't smart enough, he wasn't strong enough, he wasn't willing enough. Those statements are invalid statements as regards to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the description of perfection that we're talking about over here. So the first thing is that there is a being that's perfect. In Yesodei HaTorah, he adds another knach. And it's subsumed in this maybe, but I think it deserves its own emphasis. And over there he speaks about a Motzi Rishon. And I think it goes in the following way. In the question of who made everything. So if I tell you that, if I'm talking to a scientist and I tell him, well, who made this world? And he says, well, it came about from the swamp of atoms of and molecules. And then I'll say, okay, who made that? That came about as a result of the Big Bang. And who made the Big Bang? Maybe I have an answer, maybe not. But at some point, I'm going to throw up my hands and say, I don't know. So when you add God to the mixture, and you say, as a frum person, I believe in Hashem, the Hashem and everything, I'm not really adding much intelligent to that discussion, because somebody's going to ask me, well, who made God? And I'm going to say, oh, we're not allowed to ask these questions. So basically, I've only just out-frummed the other person. I haven't really made any intelligent remark. The answer is much deeper than that. The answer is as follows. Let's take our first impulse is to use our seichel to define and describe the universe around us. That's our impulse. That's what we feel we do. Okay. So now I look around the world, and everything I can arrange as a scientist, I can arrange all the bits and pieces and put them in place, and this causes this, this is the result of this, and so on. So my basic logical structure is cause and effect. That's logic. You know, if A then B, if A and B then it's E or whatever it is. That tells me that I can describe everything in the world. But that's not true, because everything in the world needs to come someplace, and I'm going to come to a point where I run out of things and I can't say what causes what. And it's not a question of chayis yedia, it's just illogical. If everything comes from something else, then where did everything come from? It has no answer in the realm of human reasoning. That is a statement that's absolutely correct. Now, if you need a program, computers that know how to program themselves can only be once somebody has programmed a computer to do that. You can't start with some of the programs itself and answer how did it get programmed by itself, because computers can program programs. That's a starting point. Now, this item, this entity that is first, is there must be an I not that, has a unique quality to it. It has the quality that it need not have a cause. Can I think of something? Can I picture that? The answer is absolutely not. I'm talking, I can't picture it in my logical mind, not my visual mind. It's not something, but I know it has to be there. So it's just like in science today, we find all sorts of weird stuff. And you say to yourself, tough luck. It looks weird to you, sounds weird to you, but it's mukhach from the experiments we've designed. So here also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a primary being, meaning he exists because he exists. and he does not have causes for his existence. And that's the single most important nekuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined as existence, and his existence is a very different type of existence. I give always a mashal. If I walk into a room and I see a brand new room, and I see furniture there, it's set up. So a legitimate question is, where did this furniture come from? Let's say I walk into a brand new room, you know, in addition to the house or something, and it's empty, and I guess I wax sort of philosophical, poetic, and I say, where did all this emptiness come from? That obviously is a silly question. I mean, emptiness doesn't need a cause. Emptiness exists until something has changed it. Emptiness is a default state. That's our understanding of nothingness, of emptiness. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not like that. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, existence is a default, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to be behester, then there's a question, why hasn't he projected himself? Why hasn't he revealed himself? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his most fundamental description, is a Motzi Rishon that exists. And it is where everything else gets its existence from. So anything that exists in the world exists through a borrowed existence. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists because he exists. So he's the Ilas Mitzvah Kulon Bokim Tzilosa Menesh Hakim. So now, the truth is that all the other point that he made, that it's something that's a Dovah Sholem, almost is a corollary or a restatement of the same thing. If I can show some Chisaron, then whatever it is that it's missing could not have come to light. And without the Mashal, if I'm the first programmer of a computer, there's no way that the computer can have a program that's more sophisticated than I am. I mean, it can run quicker because that's the nature of machines, but it's whatever is in me is there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Metzias, and all other Metzias come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'ilu helenu bedatenu istalgzio. So if it were possible to picture HaKadosh Baruch Hu's non-existence, Hoysa b'teila mitzius kol nimtza. Nothing else would exist. There's nothing else that exists on its own, even after creation. All existence is derived from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. I once saw a very cute sketching out of this. Somebody went to Chassidish Chaverim, one of them went to Chabad, we're talking about like 100 years ago, and to learn, and he came back and his friend asked him, tell me something that you learned, give me sort of an example of what you picked up unique in Chabad that you wouldn't have found somewhere else. So he said, let me pose a question to you. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to utterly, utterly destroy the world, what would he do? So he said, he'd bring a flood, a marble. So he said, no, a marble leaves over sludge and stuff. So okay, he would burn the world to crisps. He says, well, that also is not effective. There's dust left over, there's gases, the stuff left over if something's burned. So the guy said, okay, I give up, what's the answer? So he said, he simply would not want the world. In other words, you're living with the premise the world exists and HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to, if he wants to get rid of it, he needs to deal with it. So, but we understand, in other words, what we're told to keep in mind is, we only exist as a Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we need every minute of existence a cause for existence, and without that we wouldn't exist. So he said, and if we could picture that everything else were to disappear, Shmuel would not be missing or losing or exist less. Lefishu is Allah bilti zokim zelosay. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally does not need anything else. In other words, there is no, with all the world of mitzvahs and averis, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, please do mitzvahs and give more koach lemala, and don't averis because you take away. All of that is a wonderful, wonderful interaction HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created with us. It has no shayches to reality, in real reality, in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not suffer any consequence. He doesn't need anything. So we have nothing that we can do to affect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we are absolutely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to extend this to another place that this has become very, very, it's a rampant issue in many areas, which goes as follows. Some wonderfully eloquent rabbi of sorts will get up and challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu how he could have acted in this way, in this place, and vehemently disagrees and calls God to task for this and this. So it's sort of become a bit of a pastime for a certain genre of rabbis. Now, let's take everything else off the table. But let's give an example. Let's say I were having an argument with the most brilliant mind of the generation. It's not 100% sure that I couldn't score a point. The fact that this person is much, much more brilliant than me is just it's just a comparison. So there could be 0.1% where I could get in a score a point or even win a victory. It may be highly unlikely, but the word impossible doesn't exist for that. It's simply the chances are he's got X amount of brain power and information. I've got a fraction, or a very, very small fraction of that. Okay, but you know, if there's 1 out of 1,000 that I could be able to handle it and so on, 1 in 1,000,000. Imagine, I remember when I was young, there used to be somebody used to have a show with a ventriloquist, Jewish now, on TV. His dummy was called Velvy, and he was the ventriloquist. And this dummy and this doll Velvy was very sharp, and he really let the ventriloquist have it. And he would say the rudest, sharpest, funniest lines against him. And this poor person could just barely hold his own. So you understand that Velvy the puppet, he's only, all his chachmas are coming from ventriloquist. So even if he seems to be getting the better of an argument, it's absolutely ludicrous. It's you know, he all, any line he has, anything that's coming is coming from there. The same way I gave a mushroom before, no computer can be smarter than its programmer. Can be much, much quicker, it can make less mistakes, you know, on the technicalities of calculation, it certainly is a machine. But in terms of a smarter way of doing a problem, so yes, I can program it with different, ways and how to solve a problem, and then, again, through speed, it'll pick the best way. But in the Etzem Havana and Tfisa, there's no such thing as it beating me, it just doesn't exist. What it can do is simply take it and, using the instructions I gave it, do it and so on and so forth. So we come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our entire Metzias, there is nothing in our Seichel, in our moral sense of things. If I feel moral outrage about X, Y, Z, where did it come from? It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So either I've distorted it and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's no way, there's no place, obviously, for a human being, and not because of bigger, stronger, less, more, whatever it is. It's much deeper than that. It's the understanding of he exists, we don't exist. So no matter what we do, at the end of the day, we're not contributing to him. And doesn't need, this is true not only about people or things in this world, he's not zokuk to any of the so-called more ruchnistic worlds. Tzolei mehamalachim v'garmei agalgalim u'mashatachteihem hakol zokuk b'mitzius ha'elov v'zeh ha'yesod harishon hu shemora olav diber anochi Hashem v'chulu. So the dibra of anochi Hashem alekecha, the Rambam is first of all says that that's where you know the mitzvah of emuna. There is a big machlokas in Yishonim about where we know it from and if it is a separate mitzvah. Now Rambam says we learn from anochi Hashem alekecha. The Rambam also in the Sefer says, you know, Hashem Elokim Emes is the pasuk that teaches me this inyan also, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, and everything else is not Emes in with Amitasa Yisparach. It also will give us somewhat of an explanation about if Anochi Hashem is a mitzvah, why is it not couched in language of chiyuv, that you have to? And the answer would be because the sort of many terutzim given by many sfarim, amongst them it doesn't pass to have a tzivui on something that we're not quite sure yet. I let's give an example. Let's say I'm presenting myself as the President of the United States or as whatever it is, some sort of commanding officer. So as a commanding officer, I have the right to tell you exactly what you have to do. But let's say there's a question of my identity, then saying I command you to believe that I'm the commanding officer is a joke. It doesn't make any sense. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha could only be a statement, and then that comes in. That's a logical reason why not. But it also, in terms of the Yisod of Emunah, in terms of the right portrayal of the situation, chiyuvim and doing mitzvahs and averis and our free will is where we have some independent existence. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do not do avodah zarah. Don't make, you shouldn't have elohim acherim, and you shouldn't build statues and this and that and the other thing. So fine, those are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give us independence, and we have a bechira, which is sort of a say-so. We can be over avodah zarah. We can do it, and that means that's up for grabs. It's not an absolute, and it really depends on us. You know, when I say you cannot do this, means I could. I'm not allowed to do it. I may do it, and this is and that's what the statement means. Anochi Hashem Elokecha is an absolute statement. That has no shaychus to the world of us and Rishus. So a person may choose to deny it on a practical level. And yes, that you know, nobody can force a person to believe, to claim he believes if he doesn't or whatever it is. But mitzad, the etzim structure of it, it's not in the world of Rishus and not Rishus. It's in the world of absolute HaKadosh Baruch Hu before us. That is this first emuna. So it's the belief in a God defined the way we're defining it. And the truth is, for a lot of Adumas Olam, they have some just sort of like a big, strong entity up there that can do this and that. But that stops short in terms of understanding it, the way we understand it, that he's a sheriff of Metzias, and our Metzias is just borrowed from it, and anything else is so to define a Kadosh Baruch Hu in terms he's kind, he's good, he's great, he's gracious, they're tricky. They cannot be core definition of Kadosh Baruch Hu, because all of these are already a frame in a world. Once the world was created, there are different parameters that we can measure things by: kind, strong, mighty, etc., etc. So that's the first side and so on. I think is something I wrote about once, and I think it's something worth repeating. I mean, we're sort of Erev Rosh Hashanah. You know, when we speak about Hashem Elokim Emes, when we apply the Midah of Emes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the core Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, V'ata Kim Emes at V'orcha Emes HaKayim La'ad, so Nitzchias and Emes are seen as being almost identical. And the reason is because time will reduce everything to its shoresh. If I have a mixture of some sort, it'll settle out, and the different parts will separate into their own entities. A cake will crumble, and everything will sort of fall away to its component pieces. If a person has a table that's wood veneer, at some point the veneer will peel. It will not endure forever, because it's not one piece. The wood is not the emes of the table. It's a veneer, and the veneer tends to fall away. That's the metzias of it. So that's the reality in general of that's the way things are. If something is not emes, it's not the thing that it describes to be, then at some point the mismatch between what it's projecting and what it is going to fade away. We project more than anything else existence, and we have the sense of existing, of being. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us chiyus that was supposed to have last forever. We speak of chaya olam not b'secheinu. That means, because that's based on the fact that chiyus is a chelak al-kai memau. It's something that has shaychus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition. It's something that is divine, and therefore it's passive. If the life that I have in me is divine, then it should last forever, because it's as real as can get. If it's anything other than that, then it's limited. And that's why Rishoyim afilu b'chayem nikra meisim, because their chiyus is a limited chiyus. It's like when I pull, you know, when I charge up the battery and I take out the plug, the charger. So now the battery it still works. It works very, very well, but it's running out of juice because it doesn't really have power. It's borrowed some power. It's absorbed some power, but it bets them not mechubah to that. So the inyanim of emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu being proclaimed as emes, and that is the metzias and mohos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we're being miyasid, the cornerstone for avoda for the year to come, this is the cornerstone. It's the cornerstone of the bria, and it's the cornerstone of our hisyachsus to avodas Hashem. The noich Hashem lekecha being the mitzias itself, and that's why the name Havaya is means mitzias. That's what Havaya means. Yudke Vavke is the etzem shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it means existence. The Ata Emes and Dvorcha Emes and all of those inyanim of Emes that we push is because Emes is the definition of something that is a real Metzias. When I say something is not Emes, what I'm saying is it appears to be something. I have somebody dressed up as a doctor, so it appears a doctor, but it's not really a doctor. I have a table, and then I realize it's just a fake table for some sort of picture or movie. The table doesn't have the substance that I attribute. It looks that way, but it doesn't have the substance. The only substance in the Bria that's emes, and therefore Kayim Lad, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any questions? Any things? Yeah? Okay. So, yeah, hello? Okay. So, Aksila Sevataiva, Agoki Ben Shiar, and